Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. First of all, I want to thank you for joining me and for your reception of this show. And please tell others to listen to Pneumaticos. It would be greatly appreciated. Also, I would like to dedicate this morning's show, which is entitled, What is Resurrection Power? I'd like to dedicate this show to the victims of abuse, those who have been involved or whose lives have been marred by domestic abuse, those who have been victims of physical abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, elder abuse, those who have been abused because of discriminatory practices. And moreover, I want to dedicate this show to those who are the victims and who are being abused and who have been abused through child trafficking or human trafficking. This is a growing phenomenon. It is not going to go away, and we must be aware of this reality. And so through Pneumaticos, I am calling for us to drop our blinders, to give up the provincialism that we may have fostered in our lives, and to have a global awareness about the problems that are going on right now in our world and that have touched our lives. And that is why I wanted to bring this show on, What is Resurrection Power? This has nothing to do with political power. It is not, doesn't even come close to that power source. It has nothing to do with economic power. Political power and economic power go hand in hand. We live in a country, according to what an individual whom I admire, but Mr. Fuller said long ago, this country is under what he calls a law cap or lawyer capitalism. And so we're not talking about that type of power. We're talking about spiritual power. That is, the power of God, that he demonstrated through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. the resurrection power of God is also, according to the Apostle Paul, his letter to the Ephesians, available to the believing ones today. So I'm going to begin reading from Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 45. Speaking of, and this passage is speaking of the eighth, and it reads, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you shall be my witnesses, for and ye are my witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued or endowed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." And then Luke concludes his gospel document with the word, Amen. But I would like to bring your attention particularly to verse 49. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high." The very presence of the Jesus after his passion and crucifixion among his disciples is a remarkable demonstration of the power of God. That is our focus when we speak about resurrection power. We are speaking about the power of God. And please remember what Isaiah wrote about the passion of the Christ and what he would suffer at the hands of those who arrested him, that is the temple police, and then the Romans who beat him with a cat of nine tails and then crucified him. The Jewish leaders did not have the power to execute criminals. They would have to appeal or go before the governor, and that the Romans would do. And please remember that the capital punishment of crucifixion was reserved only for those who were non-Roman citizens. Listen to what Isaiah writes about the Messiah, or Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and what he would suffer at the hands of human cruelty. I'm going to be reading from Isaiah 52, beginning at verse 13. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human recognition or marred beyond human likeness. I have just read Isaiah 52, verses 13 and 14. In verse 14, once again, we read, his appearance was so disfigured. The verb there is shamim, and this word means to be desolate or waste, to be startled, confused, petrified, or paralyzed by astonishment. This word is used in Leviticus 26:32 and Ezekiel 26:16. There's another word here, nishkach, yeish. That is, his appearance would be destroyed, and his form marred beyond human recognition. In Isaiah 50, verses 5 and 6 read, the sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious, that is, speaking of Yeshua HaMashiach. I have not drawn back. Verse 6, I offered my back to those who beat me. And this is a prophetic reference to his being whipped with the cat of nine tails, which were leather straps tied together and embedded with bits of bone or metal, designed to lacerate and to slash deeply into the flesh to tear away muscle fibers. In other words, to induce shock into the victim. And it often did, or even death. So it was a very frightening form of punishment. I offered my back to those who beat me, and notice the second part of verse 6, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. I want to bring to your awareness prophetically what had been written about the Messiah and what he would experience at the hands of people. Psalm 22 is a psalm, a prophetic psalm that talks about the crucifixion itself. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. Psalms 22, 23, and 24 are called the Shepherd's Psalm. Notice verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. And here, the worm to which he is referring is the Caucasus worm. And this worm was used because of its crimson color. It was used as a dye for curtains in his day. And so the dye from these worms produced a deep scarlet red. Verse 7, all who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, and you remember that when the centurion took his spear and stabbed the crucified one in the heart, and the spear tore through the pericardium, and therefore outflowed blood and water. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And that was a piece of terracotta of pottery. And so this is a picture of his thirst. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. The Roman nails that were used for crucifixion were 5 to 7 inches long and had 3/8 of an inch diameter. And so they drove these nails through his hands. Notice, there are some who would say that he was crucified and when he was crucified, the nails were driven through his wrist. We're never given that in Scripture. Scripture specifically uses the word hands, the plural noun hands, not wrist. And so verse 17 reads, I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. So, this very dark picture of what was allowed by God to come to be in the life of his son, who we read also was made sin for the world. He is our blessing. He is the one who has brought to pass and to completion God's saving activity on behalf of all mankind. This is the reason why the message, the Evangelium, or the gospel message, is so compelling and so necessary for us to appropriate. This is God's answer to the human condition. God's answer to the human condition, not political. We can look around and we can see the wasteland that has been created through political answers to the human condition. Today, the world appears much like a Diachrome bronze, shadowy, elongated shadows, shadowy images or figures turned away from one another in other alienation and the acuteness of self-alienation. Today, people are so self-alienated that they focus their attention on handheld devices because they no longer know or understand how to have a relationship with another except through a handheld device. Everybody in the family has a particular way of reaching out into the electromagnetic spectrum, but have no understanding as to what constitutes real relationship among one another. The Lord, our healer, with his stripes we are healed. This study on what is resurrection power is going to visit a very vital concern, and that is, how do we come back from the deadness that is apparent in our culture? How do we once again come back to have a vital relationship with our God and with one another? And Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, we read, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" I want to stop there for a moment. And speak about the appropriateness of Ezekiel's vision in the valley of dry bones for our culture. And the prophet's response to the query of God: "Son of man, can these bones live?" At this point, the nation seemed to be hopeless, like an army of skeletons in a desert. Do you see the parallel? Do you see the appropriateness of this vision? The death that was in this valley that Ezekiel saw. And the question was put to him, "So the man, can these bones live?" And the appropriate response on the part of Ezekiel was, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Notice verse 7. "So I prophesied," in Ezekiel 37, "as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me and breathed into them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Now, literally in the Hebrew, it reads, we are cut off to ourselves. These are dry bones. There is no hope. You are prisoners of despair. What is resurrection power? Resurrection power is the power of God that gives life to the dead, or that which was once dead. That is the resurrection power of God. Anna, again, and stasis, to stand up. Anastasis is the Greek word that is transliterated resurrection. Anastasis nekron, to bring back the dead, to stand up again out from the dead. This is God's work. It is God's marvelous grace at work. We see here in Ezekiel, again, another illustration of the power of God. We are cut off to ourselves. We read from the prophecy of Isaiah and what Yeshua HaMashiach suffered at the hands of men. We know that it was the power of God that brought him back, that raised him up. And so, while men did their worst could not stop the great power of God. Where sin abounded, grace superabounded. God has provided for us superabounding grace through Christ Jesus, superabounding grace. 1 John's Gospel chapter 1, he has come and he has appeared to us full of grace and truth. Beloved, the Lord is our healer. The Lord is our healer. Isaiah 9, Jesus is our wonderful counselor. He is our mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. Today, if you are in need of this one, you would experience God's resurrection power in your life. You may call upon him where you are, and God will bless you with an answer. Please keep in mind, and please read Ezekiel 37. Please read Isaiah chapter 54 and chapter 53. Please meditate on these chapters. We will continue on this great subject, what is resurrection power, in our next show. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.